Those are done with the salah can come forward, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salatu wassalamu ala ash-shaykh al-anbiya al-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawm al-din ma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown His favor and bounty upon us. And we thank Allah ta'ala again and again, remembering the ayah of the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful to Allah, Allah says He will increase you. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us to the Habbul Bilad, the most beloved of places to Him, which are the Masajid. That is not just one masjid, but all masajid in the world are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while we are sitting in the comfort of one masjid, mashallah ta'ala, at least it just comes to mind about the sad incidents in the Babri Masjid in India and certain other masajid which are unfortunately being toppled and made from areas of Tawheed to areas of Shirk again. May Allah Ta'ala restore them back into their prime, pristine place, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Make them places of Tawheed and Ibadah again, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. That's why I tell everyone and remind myself again, the blessing you have here is only as much as you make qadr of the blessing. If you don't value it, Allah will just take it away and give it to someone else. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, and if you turn away, He will bring another people to replace you. And then they will not be like yourselves. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is saying they'll be better and on a higher plane than you and I are. So we should make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Rabbal Alameen, don't take away the blessing that we have. Allow us, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to make value of this place, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. And mashallah, we'll see this value when it really comes out in the Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan. Mashallah. The month of Ramadan, subhanAllah, is such a short time away from us, mashallah Ta'ala. It was like this last Ramadan that went by, just seems like it was yesterday. Allahu Akbar, it seems like just tomorrow will be the next Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala makes a nur ala nur. I can't describe it because I'm a weak individual. I know myself that between Ramadans, my iman goes very low. I become almost like I'm on life support. SubhanAllah, many of our iman is like on life support. You know, it's barely there. The pulse is barely, it's like beep and then like doop, right? This is like how our heartbeat is. We're almost like comatose, right? When do we make dhikr? When do we make Quran? When do we make ibadah? When do we do anything for Allah Ta'ala? Really, Ramadan, even our zakat, even anything, right? SubhanAllah, everything's in Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Literally, everything's Ramadan. We try to do our Umrah on Ramadan too, SubhanAllah, right? Everything, mashallah. We try to package it all in this beautiful month of Ramadan, mashallah Ta'ala. Allah has made this a place. It is really, mashallah, the way, it is the time for the life of the ummah to be revived again. It is the time of the Ihya wal Mauta, mean Ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you see, subhanAllah, the month of Ramadan, those people, mashallah, that have been living throughout the year making dhikr of Allah. مَثُلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ مَثُلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. That the one who remembers Allah and the one who doesn't remember Allah is like the example of the living and the dead, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Those who are alive, mashallah, throughout the year, in the month of Ramadan, they experience a different type of life, mashallah. And those who are passed away, Allahu Akbar, in the month of Ramadan, Allah gives them revival. What is the delil of this? The people you never see the whole year, Allahu Akbar. And I'm shahid to this. And shahid is shahid to this. That the people the whole year you don't see come to the masjid will come for Fajr Salah. Say subhanAllah. This is Allah's da'wah. This is Allah's tabligh. This is when Allah Ta'ala calls people to the masjid. How Allah Ta'ala's da'wah works. How effective it is. That's Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. Allah Ta'ala says he has this tremendous, profound communication, this balagha that Allah Ta'ala has. It reaches a person's heart. SubhanAllah, when he calls in Ramadan, everyone answers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had expounded and spoke about to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he said it on so many beautiful occasions. And one time, it's hadith of Sahih ibn Hibban, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam at the last day of Sha'ban, they didn't sight the moon, so they finished 30 days. And the 29th night, basically when they didn't sight the moon, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam gave them a very long hadith about the month of Ramadan. And he started to say that there's a shahrun, mubarakun azim. There's a tremendous barakah, a month full of barakah that has come before you. It's a wallakum shahrun azimun mubarak. This month that has come to you, it is better. It has in it fihi layla khayru min alfi shahr. That it has one single night better than 1,000 months. Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam and talks about this entire month saying it is such a month that any fard done in it is equal to what? Yusawi sab'ina farda. That if you pray one fard in it is equal to 70 times. And if you make one nafl in it is equal to one fard. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam said that you could increase the bonus for yourself by going to feed people, fasting persons. Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam said that if you were to feed them their iftar at the time of iftar, and you were to give it to them, not only will you get the reward of your own fast, you get the reward of their fast too. وَلَا يَنْقُصُ مِنْ أَجْرِهِمْ شَيْئًا. And they don't lose any reward at all. You gain that and they keep their reward the same. This is Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam saying this. And then the Sahaba asked a very profound question. Say, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, you must be talking about some type of five-course mubeen bai type dinner that we must provide for this person at iftar time. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, shurbatu laban. Give him a sip of milk. Shurbatu ma. Give him some water to drink. Right? Aklatu tamara. Give him a date, a piece of a date to eat. That's enough for a person to break their fast. Rasulullah, he said, the bar has been set very low, so you can get tremendous ajr before Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah, if a person just thought about it very strategically, he could come into the masjid early, or she can come into the masjid early. Sisters, mashallah ta'ala, you know, we had this, I don't know why, mashallah, husband and wife have to fight, right? So subhanAllah. I said, look, you know, she was arguing about something, I don't remember what she was arguing about. I was too tired, my head is like, still, I'm a little dazed. You know, my eyes are, during Jummah, I saw myself only seeing this much. Now I'm still seeing this much. I'm still a little exhausted. SubhanAllah, she was arguing about something. I said, isn't it make you happy that whatever I do in the masjid is your ajr? Isn't that enough of a kafabihi, you know? That isn't this enough that subhanAllah, whatever I do, whatever I try to do, whatever preaching I do, whatever talking I do, whatever kids I teach, whatever zikr I'm trying to do for myself, you get all the ajr? She says, how so? I said, who's filling the belly of this one? And oh, subhanAllah, you get the reward for that. All the kids, if they learn the Quran, you get the ajr for that. Literally everything is done for you, mashallah ta'ala, right? A sister, subhanAllah, she prepares everything. All day she's working so hard, mashallah ta'ala. You know, I tell some brothers, give her a little break. Some of these sisters, out of enthusiasm, they cook like 5 or 6 course meals. But some of them, because you know, they're kind of held at gunpoint at home. Like subhanAllah. Okay, I apologize. I'm a little tired, so more jokes will come. Okay. So they're held at gunpoint at home. If she messes up the salt today, you know, like that's it. You know, subhanAllah. Allah mafkara, la hawla wa quwwata. This is not a bandi, right? She's not a slave girl. She's your wife. Subhanallah. Have some. She wants to do her dhikr in the Quran too. But subhanAllah, she works very hard throughout the day. And mashallah, because of her working so hard, she feeds everyone, mashallah, iftar and suhoor. And mashallah, she gets ajr for everyone's fast. Everyone's fast goes for her, mashallah ta'ala. Right? SubhanAllah, this is the reward that the wife will get, mashallah. It's such a beautiful thing that Islam has given. But having said that, mashallah, the brother, subhanAllah, comes early to the masjid. He says, you know, I'm going to just put out all the gallons of water, every single one of them, subhanAllah. Mashallah, he's literally banked in the reward of 500 people who are going to break their iftar. Mashallah ta'ala, right? The people, subhanAllah, that serve the mu'takifin, those people are in i'tikaf. What is the reward of those people? SubhanAllah. They not receive the reward of one i'tikaf, but other i'tikaf for all the people performing i'tikaf at the same time. Allahu Akbar, right? There's so many people, mashallah, that understood that if I were to be, because what Rasulullah alayhi salam was trying to teach us from this hadith is that the reward of khidmah can give you a reward superior than just your own ibadah. That if you learn to serve other people, you will become a person who is superior in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they say, khidmat se khuda milte. If you serve people, you will not just attain Jannah, you will attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah that loves when people will go out of their way to go and help and serve other people. Because it's the most human thing to do, subhanAllah. To become the most inhuman thing to do is to care only about yourself. Because that's a hayawan. An animal only cares about themselves. But a human being, subhanAllah, he cares so much. And the greatest of all human beings, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, cared about the entire world. Rahmatan lil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what it means when you become a human being, when you start to care about other people. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when your ikram, mashallah, reaches that level, you help people break their fast. Rasulullah said, it's the month of rahmah and it's a tu'matun lil masakin. It is a means of feeding the poor people. It's a means of rahmah, mashallah. Rasulullah then said, the first part of the month is rahmah. The middle part of the month is maghfirah. And the last part of the month is itqum minan nar. It is freedom from the fire, Jahannam. SubhanAllah, could anyone even imagine the value of a month of Ramadan? How valuable it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How valuable is the month of Ramadan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. Allah reveals a whole ayah about Ramadan. That Ramadan is, the month of Ramadan is the month which Allah revealed the Quran in. It's a beautiful, beautiful, Mubarak, blessed month, subhanAllah. That Allah that made the days for fasting and the nights for tilawah of the Quran. This is the month Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given an additional prayer to pray, which is the beautiful sunnah of Taraweeh. That mashallah. We get tired, Allahu Akbar, right? That is like, oh man, everyone after every two rakats, either they're doing one or two things. Either we're gonna check the phone or we're gonna check the time. Right? And if there's a game, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. I tell you, Allahu Akbar, right? Because I'm in the first half, right? MashaAllah, I'm with you guys watching the first half of your games, right? So everyone just like after middle, after every two rakats, did my dua work? Did this guy get the slam dunk or whatever? Did he score a touchdown? Whatever. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar, right? MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar, right? Where are our priorities? SubhanAllah. Where is the escape? Where is the separation from the dunya? This is the month for separation from the dunya. This is the month to give talaq to the dunya. To say, dunya, you can bother me another month. This is my month to restore myself, to revive myself, to bring myself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the month of Ramadan. That is the purpose of it. Allah gave you the time for this, mashallah. Allah that gave you the time for this. Man sama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Rasulullah alayhi salam said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with belief in Allah and expecting reward from Allah will forgive all that person's sins. Just for having the iman and just expecting reward from Allah Ta'ala, the fasting of that month, Allah will forgive the person. This is a hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At the end of the month, Allah Ta'ala asked the angels, so angels, what is the reward of a person who did their work, right? And the angels said, Allah, if they did the work, they deserve their pay. Then Allah Ta'ala tells the angels, oh angels, I make you all witness that I've forgiven all their sins and I've turned all their sins into good deeds. Because that is the reward for a person who fulfills his right before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is what Allah there promises a person just for the month fasting, mashallah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Waman qama Ramadana iman wa ihtisaba." Whoever stands in Taraweeh with iman, believing in Allah and ihtisab, expecting reward from Allah Ta'ala, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Maybe his fasting wasn't good enough. So Allah Ta'ala said, even his standing at nighttime will be good enough for his sins to be forgiven. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Waman qama laylat al-qadri imanan wa ihtisaba." And whoever stands laylatul qadr, the night of qadr, imanan wa ihtisaba, just in faith in Allah and expecting reward, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, fasting might be too hard, standing might be too hard, just one night in the month, mashallah, you catch laylatul qadr, all your sins are forgiven. Allah that made the bar so low in the month of Ramadan, mashallah ta'ala. You have the time. You have the time. It is the time to capitalize. This whole time, mashallah ta'ala. My son, every other day, he asked me, he says, Daddy, how many minutes are in 70 hours? He asked me these very complicated math questions. And he's asked me this while I'm suffering from a fever. Right? SubhanAllah. And I can't, how am I supposed to give, I can't get angry at him. That's not right. But he asked me this complicated question, so I just closed my eyes and pretend like I'm asleep, right? SubhanAllah, but that question stuck with me for a while. I was just thinking, MashaAllah, he's asking such a good question. How many minutes are in this many hours? How many hours are in a day? How many days are in a month, right? And then he asked me this question, how many hours are in a month, SubhanAllah? And I started to think, Allahu Akbar, how many hours are in the month of Ramadan? How many minutes are in the month of Ramadan? What can I do to maximize that time? Because it's a very few amount of hours. Every day, 24 gets cut off from the whole month, Allahu Akbar. And slowly but surely it decreases, SubhanAllah. And it goes by like this, the same way I enter the month, the same way I leave the month, every single time. So Allah that gave me the time, brothers and sisters in Islam. You must make the place for yourself. Allah gave you the time for worship, but you must decide the place of worship for yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it easy for us too. He said, I'll give you a place where you can worship me and you can make sajda to me and you can pray to me and you can do your dhikr and break your fast and do your ibadah. Allah said, I'll give you a masjid so you can worship me in. This is the value of this place, brothers and sisters in Islam. It goes connected with the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is the time Allah gives you. The masjid is the place Allah gives you, says to worship me in here. That's why, subhanAllah, this place is Mubarak. Rasulullah sallallahu said, Ahabbul bilad ilallahi masajiduha. That the most beloved of all places Allah that I gave, the most beloved of all times is the month of Ramadan. The most beloved of all times is the night which the Quran was revealed. Could you imagine what Laylatul Qadr is, right? The value of that. Allahu Akbar. And subhanAllah, if that is the most valuable time and most beloved of times, the most beloved of places, the Masjid of Allah Ta'ala. If you are able to, mashallah, in the month of Ramadan, and keep this point in mind, if you are able to, in the month of Ramadan, spend as many hours as you can in the masjid, then do so. Take as much time as you can in the masjid. Because while you are here, this is the hadith of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that whoever, man ahsana wudu, thumma atal masjid, whoever makes beautiful wudu, and he excellences wudu, and then he comes to the masjid, and he sits there, and he's waiting for the salah to come in, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, and he praises salah. And then he sits there waiting for the next salah, just sitting there waiting for the next salah. Rasulullah said, then that person, while he's waiting for salah, is in salah, number one. So he prayed 10 minutes, mashallah, behind whatever Mawlana Shakil he prayed. Now, subhanAllah, he's sitting here waiting for the next salah to start, Allahu Akbar. The whole time will be written for him as if he's in salah. Now, Rasulullah said, and bonus on that is the malaika are speaking to Allah, making dua to Allah. Because they see this person in the masjid, he's in there in some random time, and the malaika are looking at him, and they're so impressed and in love with this man. They're so in love with this man. Why are they in love with this man? Because in the beginning of time, when Adam alayhi salam, when they first saw him, they said, Allah, these people are going to cause fitna and fasad in the dunya. The man's going to cause bloodshed. The man is going to cause fasad, right? He's going to cause corruption and tyranny and all these different things. Then they see a man, wali of Allah, sitting in the masjid waiting for another namaz. They see another man in the masjid waiting for another salah. He's just sitting there. You ask him, brother, what are you doing here for? I'm just sitting here waiting for Maghrib to come in. He sat there from Asr to Maghrib. It's like an hour. Allahu Akbar, what is he? You got nothing else to do? People ask this question, right? You got nothing else to do? I would answer the person, I don't think there's anything better to do. Ajib, man, subhanAllah, what's wrong with people these days? Allahu Akbar, right? What is there better to do than the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala? Correct your iman. Correct your taqwa. This is not the way of a Muslim. A Muslim understood that the best time, wala dhikrullahi akbar. It's a ayah of the Quran, right? It's a part of the Quran. The dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. That a person sat there. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the angels look at this man impressed and they start saying, Allah maghfirhu. Allah salli alayhi. Oh Allah, forgive this person. Oh Allah, send your blessings on this person. Allah, give your mercy to this person. This is why Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there's a chapter in books of hadith. The sitting in the masjid, عند الغم والحزن, the sitting in the masjid in the times of difficulty and hardship and anxiety and stress. They said that sitting in the masjid, mashallah, will bring down Allah's rahmah on you just by sitting here because the malaika make dua for you. There's a very interesting incident, right? People probably know it if I just start to say it. That one man during the time of the Prophet, Rasulullah, Hadith Abu Dawood, Rasulullah comes into the masjid and he sees a man sitting there. Ansari man, and he comes and he says, the Prophet says, why is it that I see you in the masjid fi ghayri awaniha? That I see you in the masjid not in the normal times, meaning you're just sitting here in a different time than normally people don't sit here. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a lot of debt, and anxiety. So I came to the Masjid of Allah to seek rahmah and comfort. SubhanAllah. Now, what is this? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have a debt, you have some difficulty. And Rasulullah Sallallahu he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I have some difficulty. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, shall I not teach you a dua for your debts? Right? Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, teach me the dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu min al-hammi wal-huzn. وأعوذ من العجز والكسل وأعوذ من الجبن والبخل وأعوذ من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. Right? This is the dua. It's a very short one. I read it out. You read it by yourself. It won't take you too long. Oh Allah, I seek protection with you from worry and grief. Oh Allah, I seek protection from in you from incapacity and laziness and from cowardice and selfishness and from overwhelming debt and that people will overpower me or men will subdue me. And then Abu Umama is the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. He says, when I did what Rasulullah said and I made this dua, all the distress I had was lifted and all the debts were taken care of. This is the dua that people need to use. And this is the person, mashallah, receiving it by the barakah of sitting in the masjid of Allah Ta'ala. This is what Rasulullah says, by you just sitting here and by you just waiting here and by you just frequenting here, mashallah, the angels are making dua for you. And the rahmah is coming down upon you. What the rahmah is, Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever makes wudu at home and then comes to the masjid, and this is the big problem we have. Many people, subhanAllah, come into the masjid, not ready for the masjid, right? So what do they come in with? They come in ready, they have their jubba in their hand, right? So they go to the bathroom and they use, mashallah, and subhanAllah, people coming from different places. But imagine, subhanAllah, there's like this big, you're like at the Hilton or something, and there's like a wedding ceremony, right? So you come in, it's like the function is like in an hour, and you come up to like the front, you know, to the place where you check in and stuff, and you come up there, it's like, hey, and you have like the tux in your hand, you're like, hey, can I use one of the showers here? You know, I don't like people be looking at you like, what are you, a weirdo? Like, you don't, you come to a wedding function like this, the tuxedo, he's in his hand, right, and he's coming in like this. Like, the people gonna look at you like you're weird. SubhanAllah, this is the way sometimes, mashallah, we come to the masjid of Allah Ta'ala. You know, Allahu Akbar, right? I see people, mashallah. You know, may Allah the reward. I like, alhamdulillah, brothers, mashallah, they have a Jummah Salb. I love that. Allahu Akbar. Jummah Salb. This is the Salb that I wear for Jummah, because this is the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have a Salb that he used to wear specifically to meet delegations, the wufud, the people that used to come from other tribes and lands. Rasulullah had a Jubba to meet them, and it was the same Jubba that he used to wear for Jummah. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was, mashallah, his clothing that he used to wear, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allahu Akbar, right, to come in ready like that. SubhanAllah, many of us, Allahu Akbar, look like we rolled out of bed, right, mashallah. This is the barak of the jubba, because no one knows what you're wearing underneath. So SubhanAllah, you could be wearing your pajamas and no one will even know, Allahu Akbar, right, mashallah. Allahu Akbar, right, SubhanAllah. It's a blessing, mashallah. Ta'ala. People keep saying, why do I wear jubba everywhere? I said, it's the most convenient clothing ever, man. You don't have to, there's very little preparation. Allah made it very easy. And it's a very beautiful type of attire, mashallah ta'ala. It's beautiful, mashallah. Really, it is. The sunnah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, many of us, Allahu Akbar, we don't come prepped like this. So then we come from home eating onions or eating something bad and this terrible smell is coming out, Allahu Akbar, right? Certain people to stand next to us, mashallah, and salah, and I can tell you his whole dinner. I can tell you everything he ate, from the biryani to the appetizer to the dessert to the chai, what kind of chai he had, okay? Like, subhanAllah, like, Allahu Akbar, man, it's a joke, you know, obviously, I'm just trying to say, like, subhanAllah, like, there's a certain decorum, adab, etiquettes, perfume, fragrance, miswak, all these different things that need to be done, because I know, mashallah, this is the beauty of the Masjid Burlington, alhamdulillah, is that people, alhamdulillah, they come to this masjid very normally, and it becomes a very normal place, but it's not a normal place. Right, this is the thing, right? We come very normally and it becomes very normal for us to come, but it's not a normal place. This is the court of Allah. This is you coming before the presence of Allah. This is not my house, it's the house of Allah. That's why the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith of Tabarani, it's a good Hasan hadith. It says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person who comes from making wudu at home, preparing himself to come to the masjid, for who is za'irullah, he's the one who's visiting Allah Ta'ala. He's the guest of Allah. فَحَقٌّ عَلَى الْمُزُورِ أَن يُكْرِمَ زَائِرًا. And the Rasul ﷺ said, and it's the right upon the host to treat well his guest. What that means, Allah Ta'ala knows. One hadith says from Dawood ﷺ, he said, Ya Allah, because Dawood ﷺ is the abid of Allah, he's the worshipper of Allah Ta'ala. So Ya Allah, what about the slave that come to your house? You know, what do they get? وَلِزُوَارِكَ Ya Allah, what do the people who visit you, Ya Allah, what do they get? And then Allah Ta'ala says that I will forgive their sins and I will pour rahmah onto their dunya. SubhanAllah, I will give him afiyah in the dunya. I will take care of his worldly needs. People, subhanAllah, they don't understand how to capitalize in the dunya. They don't understand. They think that the wealth that they get, and they think that Jeff Bezos and this Elon Musk have wealth. I said, subhanAllah, Mansa Musa, rahmatullah alayh. What is this? I don't know. You guys are probably not into stocks and business yet. Give it some time. Get a little older. Okay. Yeah, the net worth of this guy, I have no idea. It can't even come to my mind right now. Okay, who is the richest man in all of history? Mansa Musa. Okay, he's mashallah, a man from Africa, Muslim man, mashallah. His net worth was $400 billion when they tried to basically estimate it, okay, without inflation. He's so wealthy when he went for Hajj, he brought lots of gold with him and he started to give gold out as sadaqah. Just people passing by. They said that when he passed by Egypt going for Hajj, he destabilized Egypt's economy by just passing out gold because of the fact that he just kept, there's so much money that he has, subhanAllah. This is a man, mashallah. These are people, Uthman radiallahu anhu, able to supply the army of Tabuk with 1,000 camels laden with all the weaponry, all the supplies by himself. Uthman radiallahu anhu, Masjid Nabawi became Masjid Nabawi because of Uthman radiallahu anhu's donations, because of what he did from his sadaqat. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah saw the sadaqah that he used to do, and he said that it doesn't matter what Uthman does after today, he's going to Jannah. You know, these are people that have wealth, Allahu Akbar, huge amounts of wealth, mashallah. How did they get it? Because they understood when Allah said, come to the masjid, they came to the masjid. And when they came to the masjid, they knew Allah will grant them rahmah. This is why the hadith, the ayah, I'm sorry, the ayah of Surah Al-Jumu'ah tells you when you come for Jumu'ah, when the prayer is done, fas'al, go back into the work. And do your work and get from Allah's fadl and His grace. Allah says, once you do your Salatul Jum'ah, go back outside and now, mashallah, get from Allah's wealth, mashallah. Allah says, you did the ibadah, now I will take care of you in terms of your risk and your everything else. This is how you get it, mashallah ta'ala. I tell you, I can give you lots of stories. I don't have enough time for how many stories. How many do you want? Like, subhanAllah, people, mashallah, that they have hardships, financial hardships. One brother, subhanAllah, said, I have this difficulty of nikah, etc., etc., etc. The one sheikh said that for 40 days, mashallah, go to the masjid and vacuum and clean it 40 days straight. Just do the khidmah of the masjid. Just take care of it 40 days, mashallah. And he told him a certain surah Muzammil, etc., etc., to read. And subhanAllah, he started doing it, mashallah. And subhanAllah, 40 days later, mashallah, he finds a nikah and he finds a job. Mashallah ta'ala. I tell you, subhanAllah, the khidmah of the masjid has a transformative effect on a person. The khidmah of the masjid has a transformative effect on the person. The masjid itself is a means of hidayah. My hidayah came from a masjid, right? I'm telling you, subhanAllah, the last 4 days I was very sick. You know, people who know who know. But the thing is that, like, the thing is, you know, I was missing this place. Like, subhanAllah, I can't tell you enough how much I'm missing this place. To come to the Masjid of Allah, the place that this is Allah's house, this is Rabbul Alameen's home in this dunya. Who wouldn't want to be here? Who will want to come here? The Fajr I prayed today was just the most happiest experience for me. I don't know how long the Fajr was, but for me, it's not a very long prayer at all because I get to stand before Allah. Why wouldn't you enjoy those times, those moments before you get to stand before Allah Ta'ala? SubhanAllah, and these things are found because our Salaf and our Akabir and our Ulama taught us to love to the Masjid of Allah. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest dalil of this sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's someone, SubhanAllah, at the time when he's about to pass away. Yeah, he's so sick he can't even stand up properly. Two men have to pull him and drag him to the masjid, and his legs are making lines in the ground because of why? Because he wants to go to the masjid of Allah Ta'ala. And today, nowadays, people have working legs but not working hearts. That no one even wants to go to the masjid of Allah. Like, subhanAllah, forgive us. Our hearts are completely twisted when it comes to this. But subhanAllah, there are certain adab and etiquettes that come to the masjid of Allah. This is the thing that we're missing. It's a beautiful, mubarak place, but it's not a normal place. SubhanAllah, after Isha, we read this hadith, I think, today, right? After Isha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't like any conversations in the Masjid of Allah. And SubhanAllah, if there's only one thing, you know, that I could really nitpick other than the Masjid bathrooms, which we're resolving, alhamdulillah. It's getting resolved, mashallah. It's a work in progress now, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But, like, if there was one nitpick I would always have with this, with our respected, you know, alhamdulillah, you all the guests of Allah. But recognize that being a guest of Allah means you don't disrespect Allah Ta'ala's home. And many times we do disrespect Allah's home because we have conversations about everything else other than what Allah likes. SubhanAllah. In the Masjid of Allah Ta'ala, our voices are so raised, so loud. SubhanAllah, hum to wo kehte wo hall hai, right? This is a hall, right? No, wo to hallway hai. This is a hallway. We make this into a hallway. When people, you ever come out of classrooms? You ever see how loud it gets in the hallways? Sometimes this is like that. I feel like I'm walking through a hallway. Allahu Akbar. Right? The masjid is being made into a hallway because the way we raise our voices in here. SubhanAllah, do you know what's written above in Masjid Nabawi, mashallah? These are beautiful things, right? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. All those who believe, don't raise your voices over the voice of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn to lower your voices. This is part of adab. That don't talk loud in the Masjid of Allah. Umar radhiyallahu anhu saw some guys like, gup-shopping it up, right? India versus Pakistan, something, I don't know. And then he took like a rock and just like threw it at him. And then the guy came out and then Umar said, listen, this is not for this place, okay? You go out there, go talk out there. If you want to talk, go somewhere else. Don't ruin this place. People always ask this question saying, how do we get the kids to become orderly? I said, order yourself first. SubhanAllah, it's very simple. People, mashallah, are trying to make this like rocket science. I said, SubhanAllah, we act like, mashallah, I tell you, it's become such a normal place, mashallah, that we forget about the adab and etiquette ourselves, right? We forget sometimes, right? So then we start, alhamdulillah, enjoying this place. Mashallah, I'm telling you, Allahu Akbar, right? The guy, SubhanAllah, he will rush into the masjid. He'll leave the car randomly in a certain spot and say, inshallah, Jibril alayhi salam will take care of it. I read the ta'weez on it. And then he'll run to the Jumu'ah and he'll try to catch it, mashallah. And subhanAllah, he catches like last part, mashallah, while his car is being towed in the I'm like, Allahu Akbar, man. What's okay? The Prophet the Banu Salima, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we love the masjid so much. We're going to move our whole tribe. And we're going to take them out from the town, the part that we live in, and we're going to move everyone closer to the masjid. We live too far, Ya Rasulullah. And we don't like that. So Rasulullah said, Banu Salima, Diyarukum tuktab asarukum. Stay in your place. All the steps that you're taking to the masjid are all being written down. This is why, subhanAllah, people, mashallah, park a little far. Alhamdulillah, your steps are being written down for you, mashallah. It's going to be better than the wheels turning. 100 billion, wallahi, it will be. Because, mashallah, the fact that you are putting in the effort to come and walking, mashallah, and taking your time, okay? This is what you should do. Park it like a human being, mashallah. We're not in Jannah when you come in here. I know this is like a piece of Jannah, but when you come in here, mashallah, there are etiquettes and adab, there are things. وَمَا يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. What is the point of Ramadan, brothers of Islam? So you can attain taqwa, Allah Ta'ala says. So you can attain taqwa, the fearfulness and the mindfulness of Allah. To become mindful of Allah Ta'ala, right? To understand what it means that you're aware Allah's watching you. Allah says, just honor the places where you find my name being mentioned. That honor the places and the people that you find my name being mentioned. يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ يَعْنِي أَمَاكِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. The places of Allah in the dunya, the shi'ar of Allah in the dunya, and the people that remind you of Allah, honor those people. If you honor those people, Allah says, you have taqwa of me. So having this, kept this in mind, when a person, mashallah, honors the masjid, Allah will give them the taqwa they want in the month of Ramadan. This is what it is. So inshallah, remember these things and these adab and these points, and learn to be that khadim, that look, mashallah, again, like, alhamdulillah, you come into this masjid, and in the month of Ramadan, I'm telling you, it is a five-star service. Compared to many other places, right? Isn't it not? SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar, iftar. People are like, oh, Mawlana, what about this? Isn't this man? Stop complaining, man, okay? If you don't, just go home and eat your wife's food and whatever, okay? But like, SubhanAllah, that like you come here, mashallah, you get the iftar, you get the water, you get the food, you get the dinner, mashallah, ta'ala. Then, alhamdulillah, you get the fast track, tarawih, mashallah, ta'ala. I don't know what else you could ask for. I really don't know what else you could ask for. SubhanAllah, you get so many things, mashallah. But again, they're volunteers. They're people that, alhamdulillah, they have their own lives and their own health and their own energy, right? And they're doing their own dhikr, right, mashallah? Have you ever thought about the cooking team? What time they have to come in here to start working, subhanAllah? Do you understand what it means to work in the last 10 days of Ramadan? Last 10 nights when the people in i'tikaf have to also eat and they also have to be served? How many people, subhanAllah, go into functioning building here? Just one building. In this whole town, how many people are working to make this happen, mashallah ta'ala? Wouldn't you want to become a volunteer here, someone to serve this place? Because again, it's not a hotel running by paid employees. This is just a person who understood when I came in here, Ya Allah, I know I'm your guest, but I'm your abd. Allah, I am your daif. I am your guest. I'm your slave, Ya Allah. And so I came here to serve Allah. I didn't come here to become served. And so then, subhanAllah, it is that, mashallah, that amazing woman. They mentioned, subhanAllah, about her. They say that the poem you should read, she was a very old an old lady that she was, she accepted Islam. And the poem she used to read, she used to say something more or less to the effect. They should say that it's only out of gratitude for the fact that he saved me from kufr, that I'm here. And she used to come and sweep the masjid every day, regularly, diligently used to sweep. No one paid a single eye to her. No one even paid attention to her. She used to come and do this regular amal, sweep and clean and sweep and clean and sweep and clean till the day, subhanAllah, in the wafatiha, right? Until the day that she passed away. And then she was buried like a janazah, like anyone else, not even paid attention to even tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that such an amazing woman that used to take care of the masjid, she passed away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because yatafaqadu ashaba, he used to look around for people that were missing. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Where is the woman that used to sweep the masjid? Where did she go? I haven't seen her for some days." Say, "Ya Rasulullah, she passed away a couple of days ago." He said, "How dare you? How could you not tell me that she passed away? Why did you not inform me of such that she passed away? Do you recognize the respect that this woman had in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Someone who decided that I will care for the masjid like I care for my home. I will care for the masjid better than how I care for my home." People, subhanAllah, they have this, mashallah, amazing feeling that wherever they go, if there's no masjid, we gotta build a masjid. Subhanallah, this is Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is what it means to take care of the masjid, ya'muru, right? To build a masjid. Certain people build the structure, and certain people build the home inside, right? Subhanallah, some people build the structure, and some people build the actual house inside. And subhanAllah, those people are very precious. So Rasulullah said, "Dulluni, tell me where her grave is." So he went, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because he's the wali, this is the exception for the wali, because the Prophet sallallahu, the wali is that when the janazah is performed, if someone who the wali did not want to perform, the wali has full right to perform the janazah again. SubhanAllah. And so then the Prophet sallallahu, he's waliul mu'minin. Rasulullah, he awla bil mu'minin min anfusihim. He's the greatest wali to everyone. So the Prophet says, "Show me her grave." So he went there, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he prayed a janazah again, out of honor for what she had. This is what a person, mashallah, who decides to say, "You know what, I'll do khidmah," and doesn't require a lot of things. Like I said before, last time, that just, learning to just pick up your own stuff and helping, toss away certain things and waiting a little bit. I'm gonna be here for a little bit anyways. Let me help pick up some stuff. Let me help move something. Maybe I can help vacuum here there. Maybe I can help perfume this, mashallah. Sometimes, subhanAllah, this masjid smells fantastic. Sometimes, mashallah, smells like my mom's cooking in the kitchen, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar, right, mashallah. We can find a middle path somewhere, right? Ummatan wasata. Somewhere in the middle, mashallah. If someone brought like some type of fragrance, subhanAllah, we can make it happen. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, right? Mashallah ta'ala. May Allah reward everyone, make it khayr for everyone, ya Rabbil Alameen. The idea is that, subhanAllah, look, this masjid, inshallah, make it alive. In the month of Ramadan, you, inshallah, make the masjid alive. Allah Ta'ala will make your heart alive. He will restore you to that place that you want to be with Him, inshallah ta'ala. But it requires, inshallah, that we start to use this place. Now, subhanAllah, the life that people get in this masjid, it depends on where you are in your iman and how much you develop yourself. Certain people, again, when they enter the month of Ramadan, the place that the masjid becomes is like a hospital. So they come into the masjid, and they're just put straight onto the life support, right? And they're just being pumped with the fluids and everything, and they're put onto the machine to make sure that the heart is going to start functioning again. By the end of the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, their pulse has come back regular, and they're able to leave, mashallah. That is the life that they receive from the month of Ramadan. That's certain people's life from Ramadan. Other people's life from Ramadan is like what? Mashallah, it's like a classroom. They come into the masjid, and subhanAllah, they see a dars, and they see a lesson. Because when you come into a classroom, alhamdulillah, that is a type of life too. So they come before the teacher and they start to learn, and their hearts become rejuvenated and revived. At the end of the Ramadan, they leave as a student of knowledge, mashallah. And other people, alhamdulillah, when they come into the month of Ramadan, they come into the masjid, they look at it like a gym, not an actual gym, okay? Don't make it into an actual gym. Some of these kids make it into an actual gym. It becomes a jungle gym, subhanAllah, right? They come into the masjid, subhanAllah, and they recognize that this is a place for my iman to become stronger and develop. So they come in here and they lift. And they work and they struggle. They read zikr, they read Quran, they make their ibadah, they do what they need to do, subhanAllah. And because of the effort they make, mashallah, they leave a completely changed person by end of Ramadan. The life that they receive from Ramadan is all different based on how you come in. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and that is all dependent on how much you want to treat this place with that adab and that respect. Again, subhanAllah, when you, alhamdulillah, love the Masjid of Allah and you care for the Masjid of Allah and you want to be here in the month of Ramadan, you'll see how much Allah will transform your life. He'll make it into something completely different. And this is found in the examples of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu. I can't give you just two stories, inshallah, will be done. Bilal radiallahu anhu, he was, subhanAllah, could you imagine who he was and what he became? who he was and what he became. That person, subhanAllah, was just a slave of someone, of some nobody in the area of somewhere, and nothing else to be said about his name at all. But it becomes Bilal Mu'adhdinu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The one who the ayat of the Quran revealed, Innama ya'muru masajid Allah, man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa qama salawat az-zaka wa lam yakhsha illa Allah. Allah then says about this person who actually who makes the masjid alive. It is revealed about the Mu'adhdin, the one who gives adhan. Right, subhanAllah, is all these cowards. Every one of them, right, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar, right? They have nice voices. And subhanAllah, they're making our elders struggle themselves so hard to give the adhan, and they could do it themselves. MashaAllah, right? The idea that subhanAllah, that the Mu'adhdin, Rasulullah said, if you hear the person giving adhan, give shahada that he's a Muslim. On Qiyamah, you'll come and give shahada that he's a Muslim. Because why? Because this is a person who has given his life to make sure the masjid is alive. What does Muazzin do? He makes sure that people come to the masjid. He makes sure that the masjid is alive. This is Bilal radiallahu anhu. This is Bilal radiallahu anhu. He gave the adhan and Allah Ta'ala made the masjid alive through Bilal radiallahu anhu. Not just any masjid, but both masjid, the Haram Sharif and mashallah and the Masjid Nabawi. This is Bilal radiallahu anhu. What a beautiful honor is Muazzin, right? Another man, Sumama. Sumama ibn Usan. Sumama radiallahu anhu, he was a Sahabi at the time. He comes to Masjid Nabawi, ready to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he comes in, subhanAllah, and they see he's not here for the best things in the world. So then they grab him, they confiscate his weaponry, they tie him to the pillar of the masjid, and then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him and says, "Oh Sumama, what are you here for? What do you feel?" Say, "Ya Rasulullah," he says, "you know, I appreciate the fact you didn't kill me, but if you want to kill me, in qataltani, qataltani. If you kill someone, you kill the noble guy. I'm top G right now. If you kill me, it's all good. I don't care. My people will pay for me, whatever. You know, and if you let me go, shakaltulak, I'll be grateful to you. No problem. You know, but kind of like pretending like not a big deal." So then in any case, he says, "Prophet, just leave him on the pillar. You know, just do your business." So then subhanAllah, he's just there. From the morning, he's there. And he sees Sahaba. Not like our masajid. May Allah forgive, right? But our masajid, subhanAllah, Mufti Jamaluddin used to say very regularly, he used to say that the masjid should be 24/7 abad, right? 24/7 that people should be coming in and doing some type of ibadah, right? Dawood alayhi salam in his own home, he wanted that the whole day. He told all his family members, he gave an assignment schedule. He said, "This is your time to this time to worship Allah in the home." So that way, the whole day, from wife to children to everyone will have a certain time to worship Allah. So 24 hours in Dawood alayhi salam's home, there was someone worshiping Allah Ta'ala. So then what was that? Masjid Nabawi of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they will come in the morning, pray the duha, pray the ishraq, pray the chash, read their dhikr, do their ibadah. And then afterwards they will come up for, you know, they will take some rest, come back again, zuhr time, masjid will be packed again, right? Sumama probably is just like, posted up onto the pillar. What can he do, right? He's watching them pray. SubhanAllah, they're sitting there doing some ibadah. Some of them are coming in, some of them are doing dars of the Quran, learning hadith, learning fiqh. And then after Asr, they're all sitting there doing tilawah, doing dhikr, doing ibadah. After Maghrib Salah, they're doing their awabin prayers, 6 rakats. One hadith mentions 20 rakats of prayer, mashallah. They're doing ibadah for long times. After Isha Salah, they're all coming in, mashallah. After Isha, the masjid's pitch silent. He's just stuck in there by himself, subhanAllah. You know, you'd be scared, right? The jinnat, whatever. People think ghosts will come out somewhere. I don't know. I don't know which ghost, Mom's ghost or something. I don't know. People thinking some ghosts will come. So having said that, Sumama, he hears people walking into the masjid, and he's looking and he's seeing that people are coming in for tahajjud. They're praying salah now, and sahaba are standing there from Isha all the way to Fajr. Rasulullah himself is coming into the masjid making izbada. So many people are coming into the masjid making tahajjud prayers, mashallah ta'ala, right? And then subhanAllah, his whole night went like that. Next time after Fajr, Rasulullah talks to, he turns around to Sumama again. He sees all the sahaba coming in the whole day, right? And he goes, "Oh Sumama, how do you feel today?" And Sumama says, Oh Muhammad, again, thank you for keeping me alive. But in qataltani, qatalta dha adam. If you kill someone, you kill a person of honor, right? If you want, if you free me, I'll be grateful. You know, whatever you feel like doing." Prophet says, "Okay, keep him tied to the pillar." SubhanAllah. The second day goes like that. The same routine he sees about the Sahaba Kiram. Not one day. This is what we do, right? One day of worship, and then we leave everything for the next 364, and then we expect results. Allah has said, make the masjid alive. You can't make something alive in a day. Rome, Medina was not built in a day. A whole life needs to be given. So then they come next day, same thing. And then Rasulullah, after the third day, he comes to Sumama and says, "Sumama, how do you feel?" He says, "Oh, Muhammad, if you want to kill me, you can. If you want to let me go, you can let me go." The Prophet said, "Untie him." 3 days is enough. He was our mihman for 3 days. So then, Masha, he was our guest for 3 days. Let him go. He was fed well. He was kept well. They tie him and make him use the bathroom. I don't even know if you understand that. But having said that, mashallah, they let him go. And then he takes a pit stop. You know, subhanAllah, he takes a pit stop to find any pond or any area he could find to find some water. He goes there. He takes a shower. He takes a ghusl. He comes back straight back to Masjid Nabawi. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He says, I bear witness there is none worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Today, after Jumu'ah, I was kept here because, subhanAllah, one sister, mashallah, wanted to take Shahada. These people come and they need someone to be here so that they can get their Shahada, Allahu Akbar, right? So, having said that, this Sumama accepts Islam. He says, Muhammad, yesterday your face was the most hated face to me, but today your face is the most beloved face to me. And he said, your Medina was the most hated of places to me, but today is the most beloved of cities to me. This man's life was changed from 3 days when the Masjid of Allah Ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah is giving you 30 days in the month of Ramadan. Take advantage, inshallah ta'ala. Make niyyah, make intention. Inshallah, I always ask people for one prayer. I'm going to up and out to two prayers. Okay. Subhanallah. Isha, alhamdulillah, make intention for Isha. It's always the easiest one. Right? Dhuhr might be easy for a lot of brothers too because you're coming from work. You don't want to be there anyways. I understand. I will be here to hang out with you anytime. Anytime, really. Isha, mashallah, and try Fajr. You know, alhamdulillah, it's a good way to start the day. I can't tell you how much I missed it. Honestly, man, it's not the same to pray at home. It's not the same. When you come to the Masjid of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's nur is there. SubhanAllah, nur is samawati wa. May Allah grant us tawfiq. Make it, inshallah, that we are able to value this place. May Allah allow us that before the month of Ramadan, we fast a couple of days, we read some Quran, and inshallah, we value the masjid, inshallah ta'ala. We learn to serve this place, inshallah. We do the khidmah of this place, and inshallah, may Allah make us people that are regular to the masjid, inshallah ta'ala. To all the masajid, not just this one, any masjid you go to, alhamdulillah, is beloved to Allah. Really, it is. And may Allah make it this means of acceptance for us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. This is a request for dua. Many people are sick. May Allah grant them shifa for everyone, Ya Rabb. Khassan and brother Ghazi bhai, his son Uthman has been sick in the ICU for some time. He has pneumonia. He's 20 months. Very, very young child he is. Subhanallah. They said he was very sick. May Allah give him shifa kamil ajila. Return him to full strength, Ya Allah. Return him home safely, Ya Allah. And grant afiyah to the family, Ya Rahman Rahim. And please, inshallah, tomorrow we have a sister's program after Maghrib Salah. Alhamdulillah, it'll be a preparation for Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, if your family, inshallah, would like to come, your sisters or your daughters, inshallah, we'll also have a means and accommodation for anyone who would like to have their kids kind of like put into a separate area. Inshallah, we've arranged with some of the alimas to make sure that's happening as well. Alhamdulillah, it'll be a nice talk, mashallah, very beneficial, very inspirational. And there'll be food as well, inshallah, right? So, alhamdulillah, right? Nur ala nur, right? Mashallah. So, please, inshallah, do send your families. Alhamdulillah, we're restarting these sisters' programs. It'd be very nice if, alhamdulillah, we get a good turnout. So, alhamdulillah, we can be motivated to continue, inshallah. May Allah accept everyone again. Wassalamu alaikum Muhammad.